Morning. Our reading this morning is taken from the book of Romans. Again, we're going through, and it's chapter 12, and we're reading from verse 9 to verse 21. And if you're using one of the Pew Bibles, it'll be on page 1139. Love. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. May God bless to us the reading of his word.
Thank you for that wonderful reading, Jennifer. Let's take a brief moment to pray as we approach God's words. Father, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, but also the meditations of all of our hearts as we listen and seek to respond to your words may be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, it is good to see you all. Is it my microphone that's acting? I'll let you do the trick. Good. Great. Well, thank you for that reading, Jennifer. And sometimes when you hear a reading like that, you think, do we really need a sermon, right? I mean, it's all pretty clear. Can we just not maybe reread this passage and I can sit down and we can think about it? Should we do that? Why not? Well, on the one hand, I'm tempted to do that. But then on the other hand, this week I was looking through my Facebook feed, and what I saw there was that one of my friends had posted this post. It was this news article by a newspaper that is, you know, this newspaper that is always very objective, that is never looking for sensation. It's called the Daily Express. Anyways, the news article that appeared was the following. It was fury at Morrison's as Christians slam new cheese. This is not what Easter is about. Morrison's had introduced this cheese called the hot cross bun cheese with the spices from the hot cross bun. And some Christians, they, of course, took offense because how can you take the signs of Christianity, this that are ingrained in the hot cross bun, and turn it into cheese? Can you believe that? For some Christians, this was a clear sign of the demise of Christendom and another evidence of the fact that the world out there is you know, wanting to get us, wanting to take everything that is Christian and turn it into cheese. Well, I mean, I have to confess, as someone who hasn't grown up in the UK, I saw that news article and I realized, oh, the hot cross bun is actually meant to be a Christian thing. What's next? Mince pies are also Christian somehow. So be that as it may, my friend commented on Facebook saying, you know, the mystery of why people aren't interested in Christianity continues. And of course, this is a silly example, although I wish it was a made-up example. But it does show that we as Christians, we are often very good at pointing out and complaining what is wrong with the world around us. We are very good at pointing out and complaining what is wrong with the church. We are very good about pointing out and complaining what is wrong with everyone in the church. And I think this passage this morning is just a fresh call and a fresh challenge for us to stop complaining and start living the gospel. Because this list that Jennifer has just read, it is not just an ordinary list. It is not a list about how to become a better or a nicer person in 12 steps. That is not what Christianity is about. Christianity is not simply about becoming a nicer person. Although hopefully, if you're a Christian, you are becoming a nicer person. Christianity is not some sort of religion that helps us to on the way to self-improvement. Although as Christians, of course, we do believe with John 10, verse 10, that the Christian life is life in all its fullness. Christianity is not some sort of religion that is just there for our sake to make us happier. Although, of course, when we are Christians and we experience the joy of the Lord in all circumstances that goes beyond all understanding, it should make us happier and more joyful persons as well. Now, being a Christian is about that we embrace the gospel, that we embrace the good news about Jesus Christ. It means that we embrace the truth of who we were, the truth of who we are, and the truth of what we are becoming by the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you read Romans, something that we've been doing for a while now as a church, we've been working through this letter, it is very clear that what Paul tells us about who we were. We all are and were children of Adam. We're all humans. And that means that we're all subject to the same condition of Adam. We are all subject to sin. We have all fallen for sin. Sin is that force that enslaves humanity, and it is this force that ultimately leads to death. But thankfully, when we came to Romans 5 to 8, we also learned the truth about who we are now. In Jesus Christ, we are alive. We are free. We have passed through death into new life. In Jesus Christ, the power of sin and death are broken. And we live this new life no longer under the enslavement of sin, but serving our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the passage today, this part of the letter to the Romans, from Romans 12 to the end, is really a lot about what we are becoming as people that live in this new reality. It is about what sort of people we should be aspiring to come. People that look to Jesus and live in the power of the Holy Spirit. If you look at the list today, we are called to be people of radical love and goodness. People that seek the honor of others rather than the honor of ourselves. People that do not care about anyone's background, age, or nationality. People that forgive. People that look after each other. People that do not seek revenge. But people that follow the way of Jesus and are ready to forgive and seek reconciliation. This list is not an ordinary self-help list. It is actually a list that is shaped by the example of Jesus and his teaching. In fact, if you read this list very carefully, and after that you would read through some of Luke's gospel, for example, Luke chapter 6, where we get the Sermon on the Plain, or Luke's passion narrative, you will see that the instructions that we find in this list are exactly the things that Jesus taught and are the way that Jesus lived. He exemplified this list. He did all the things that we find here. And likewise, the Apostle Paul, who's writing this letter to the Romans, if we read about Paul's life in the book of Acts, for example, we'll see how he is seeking out to live out the instructions that he lays out in this list as well. And even within the book of Romans, if you would read Romans chapter 12 very carefully and compare it to Romans 1 to 3, you'll hear all these echoes and you'll see this huge contrast. And that whereas Romans 1 to 3 is giving us a picture of humanity in Adam, of humanity subject to sin and death, Romans 12 is painting us a picture of humanity in Christ. So the question then is, looking at this list, can we attain to this? Is this going to be easy to do? And the answer, of course, is no, it isn't going to be easy. And that is why chapter 12 begins with this command: be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need to be transformed. And you know, it is a little bit puzzling, because on the one hand, that is a command, that is something that we ought to do, that we ought to be open to. It is an imperative. On the other hand, being transformed is also, it's a passive verb. It means that there is someone who needs to be doing the transforming within us. And if we read the letter to the Romans, we find out who that someone is. That is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the agent who needs to be transforming us from the inside out to become people that live in ways that resemble this instruction. We need the transformative power of the Holy Spirit. And even in this passage today in verse 11, if we translate it freely, Paul says, be on fire in the Holy Spirit. We need to live a new Spirit-filled life. So can it be done? Can Christians live this life? Yes. And what I want to do in the remainder of this sermon, I want to walk through this list again. I want to read through it slowly, and I want to stop at a few points and offer us just some examples of how Christians today live out these virtues. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Honor one another above yourselves. I remember in my household, the household that I grew up in as a kid, that was a very important thing, honoring people above yourself. In fact, my parents spent most of their lives doing Christian social work, being involved in a Christian social organization. And I still remember that as a kid, this was very inspiring, very formative for me. And annually, we'd be celebrating Christmas as well with some of the homeless people in Amsterdam. And so there would be this annual Christmas lunch that one of the churches would put on, and there would be all these nice tables in this church. And we'd invite homeless people to come and share this Christmas lunch. And this was a way for us as Christians to show that those people that do not receive honor by society, we see them as image bearers of God, and we want to honor them. And in fact, I remember one particular year where I was sitting at this table And there were some homeless people. My dad was there as well. And there was this one lady that came, walked up the table and complimented this one person at the table, said, "Sir, you are wearing such a nice suit today." And that was her way of honoring this person. Unfortunately, she didn't know that that was just a friend of my dad's and wasn't actually a homeless person that had come to that meal. But be that as it may, you know, as Americans would say, God bless her heart. She knew, she sought to honor this person. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, and share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Being patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, sharing with the Lord's people who are in need, practicing hospitality. When I was reflecting on this passage this week, a story came to mind, a story that I had recently heard. I just want to check, Clayton, is the microphone still acting up? Or is it okay? Are you guys okay? Great. A story that I heard at the Baptist Union of Scotland Council. So I go to the council twice a year, and we share stories about what God is doing across Scotland in Baptist churches. And as I was reading these instructions, I was reminded of a story that a friend of mine at council shared at the most recent council. And she is a member at Gala Shields Baptist Church. Now, some of you may know that the pastor of Gala Shields Baptist Church is Ewan Johnson, and Ewan and Beth, they for a long time were members in this church, and they also studied here in St. Andrews. And this is the story that she told about being faithful in prayer, sharing with the people who are in need, and practicing hospitality. She says, "So we at Gala Shields Baptist Church in the sleepy Scottish borders found ourselves enlisted into a social justice campaign on behalf of what we believe to be about 100 social carers who had come to the Scottish borders from predominantly Nigeria, but also some parts of Southeastern Asia. Over the course of several weeks, some of our folks who were receiving support from these carers, and some of them were worshiping in the churches and building relationships with them, they started to piece together that the terms on which they had been brought to the UK and their working conditions were extremely dodgy. Think human trafficking, exploitation, all in our backyard. The promise of sponsorship for their visas had been withdrawn. People bringing them to the UK had exceeded the Home Office quota. Threats were made to silence them, and there was an imminent chance of deportation. Some of them by this time had spouses and children with them. Now, because of the money they paid up front to their sponsors and the poor wages they were receiving, they had no money to pay for the airfares to leave the country voluntarily. They were stuck between a rock and a hard place. And we felt compelled," my friend writes, "to stand alongside them and to plead their case before the throne of God, the thrones of the politicians and the authorities. Emails were flying everywhere. Westminster, Home Office, Scottish Government, local council, charities working in this sector such as Hope for Justice, as well as trying to offer tangible being with support. There was a real rallying of churches and church leaders in the area. In our wildest dreams, we didn't expect the outcome that transpired. We thought at best that all of them, that all what could be achieved was a closing of the loophole so that this wouldn't happen again. However, the arm of the Lord, full of compassion, righteousness, and justice, intervened. The Scottish Borders Council have stepped in and offered all the carers contracts with them, with all the better pay and conditions that that involves. And they've offered to match the sponsorship promises that were given to them prior to coming to the UK. There is so much rejoicing. Many of the Nigerians are Christians and are worshiping in various churches across the borders, including Gala Shields Baptist Church. As a church, we so value the diversity this has brought to our church life. What a wonderful testimony, isn't it? And what a wonderful story to be able to share. I'm so thankful that she was okay with me sharing it with you this morning. An example of how Christians today still live these instructions that Paul gives us. So let's move on to the final part of this list. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to be associated with people of a low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's righteous anger. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good. You can read through the final part of this list and think to ourselves, you know, this part, truly, this is too high for us to attain. This is too high for us to even reach for. But again, I would say this list is not an ordinary or accidental list. This is the list that is exemplified in the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is what He did. Not seeking revenge, overcoming evil by doing good. And this is what Paul sought to do in his life as well. And you know what? There are still Christians out there today seeking to do this even today. Final example I want to give, and an example, contemporary example of someone exemplifying these virtues is this person. His name is Hana Massat, and he is the pastor of Gaza Baptist Church, the only evangelical church within Gaza. And he's been the pastor of that church for 12 years, but in recent years, he has had to flee. He now lives with his family in America because the threat to his life and his family's life became too imminent. And in fact, one of his close friends was kidnapped by militants, and not wanting to deny his faith in Jesus, was killed. And I read an interview with him. This was right after the war in Gaza had started. And he said, "Christians in Gaza live between two fires. On the one hand, you know, for them, the reality, there's the fire of the Israelis. On the other hand, there's the fire of the militants. And there's so much misunderstanding for this small minority of Christians in Gaza." And in this interview, he then speaks. I was very impressed by his tone, very much focused on forgiveness, reconciliation, peace. And he was speaking about how all humans are image bearers of God, perhaps broken image bearers, but we all need God's forgiveness and grace to be restored. We are all loved by God. And I was impressed when I read that interview, but then a week or so after the interview, and I don't know if you remember this, there was this moment in the war where accidentally a church was hit by a bomb. And this bomb killed 18 Christians that were sheltering in this church. Now that is 18 of the approximate 900 Christians living in Gaza among the 2 million people that live there. And some of them were church members of Hanna Masat. And in fact, there were children among the dead, and there was his aunt was killed as well. So the newspaper reached out to him for another interview. And he said, you know, this hurts. It's a big shock. We never thought this could happen. These Christians are peace-loving and left their homes to take shelter in the church. They thought they were safe there. And the reporter asked him, in the interview you had earlier with this newspaper, you spoke about forgiveness. Hasn't that become very difficult now? And he says, you know, it's not easy. But what is the alternative? Bitterness and hate consume you. I am not a superhuman. I can do it on my own. But I want to forgive. And I need God's grace to do that. For me, this pastor is an example of someone who lives the realities of the teaching that we find here in Romans 12. Someone seeking to overcome evil with good. Someone seeking forgiveness and reconciliation. And even if, humanly speaking, these commands may seem too hard for us to even strive for, seeing an example like that gives me hope that God's Spirit, even today, can mold people into people that look more like Jesus, people that live the gospel. And you know what, as I was preparing for the sermon yesterday, and I don't know about you all, but last night I went to bed feeling quite distressed, hearing about these missiles flying towards Israel sent from Iran. And I was like, I'm not sure what reality I'm going to wake up to this morning. The world seems to be in turmoil. There seems to be revenge after revenge after revenge, and this endless circle of violence that just seems to be increasing. I mean, before that, when I was writing the sermon, I heard the news about the mall in Sydney where someone just killing innocent people. And you think, now more than ever, the world needs people that live lives like this. The world needs people that live out the gospel. The world needs us. The world needs to see that there is a different way, that there is a way of forgiveness, that there is a way of reconciliation, that there are ways, no matter how difficult it may seem from a human perspective, to break through the cycles of violence and death. You know, we can think that the gospel is all about where we go to when we die. But in fact, the world needs the gospel today. They need to see today that the gospel is real. And if we don't live this reality, but still want to share the message about Jesus, who's going to believe our message? We need to be living this reality so that people do see that there is another way to be human, that there is a way to be human following the example of Jesus Christ, that there is a Holy Spirit that is at work in this world, transforming lives, making us into people that we never thought we could even be. And that is my prayer for us this morning, that we would become people that we couldn't even dream we think we could become. Because we want to be transformed by God's Spirit to look more like Jesus, to show the world that there is a different way, to show the world that there is a God of love and reconciliation who has sent his son Jesus Christ into the world to make this world new through his love, through his forgiveness, to make people new, to transform people's lives, to bring an end to death and sin. And so what I want to do is I just want to ask the musicians to come up. I'm just going to read through this list one more time, in a different translation this time, so that the words come to you fresh. And I just want to ask you to take time to think about, to meditate on these words as I read them to us, and to ask the Holy Spirit this morning to speak to you, to show you where you need to be transformed. Which areas in your lives do not quite look like Jesus yet? So listen to these words and be convicted, be challenged, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those that persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy. And weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think that you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see that you're honorable. Do all things so that you can live in peace with everyone, as far as that is up to you. Dear friends, never take revenge. Never. Leave that to the righteous anger of God, for Scripture says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Please listen to the words of this song as the band sings, and continue just to pray and reflect and listen to these words as we ask the Holy Spirit to be at work among us this morning.